and yet replies, all this I gladly suffer. This Lamb is Christ, the soul's great friend, the
congregation is invited to stand for the opening versicles. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, if any man would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated. We sing the canticle hymn 434. These two readings from Acts 4 and also from Matthew 21 both are based on and have a foundational teaching from a psalm. Not our Psalm 31, but Psalm 118. And you'll notice as I read through them, there's a line of phrases in bold, and you can read those bold print along with me when I get to that point, if you'd like. But you'll see from Psalm 118 that there was a teaching about the Messiah, a teaching about the Savior that was to come, that Jesus depended upon, that he took and he understood what was true about him. And then also in the first reading in Acts, Peter quotes it as teaching that many would not believe in Jesus. Our reading from Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed. The number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited for the reading of the gospel. Invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to the tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. The one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was talking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
You may be seated. If you would like, you are invited to read along with me the portions of Psalm 31 that we're considering tonight. They're printed in the bulletin.
Into your hand I commit my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because all my adversaries I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We don't have it written down here in the bulletin, but this Psalm 31 has the ascription at the beginning that it is a Psalm of David. And in those beginning verses of David's Psalm, he says, Lord, you're my refuge. You're my strength. You're the one I trust in. And as we see in the psalm, as he goes along, he sees that he has adversaries, people who are trying to tear down his kingdom or trying to bring in false teachings or trying to bring in rumors or different problems into his kingdom. So he has problems. At the same time, he knows that God is his Lord and God and is in control of all things. That first verse that's printed and that we read together, verse 5, is so much about David's strong faith in the Lord that he would say, Lord, you have my spirit. Everything I have is in your hands. And for David, a sinner, it was important that in that God is in his hands and he commits his spirit to him, that God has redeemed him. This is the verse that Jesus quoted on the cross when he died, when he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. David needed redeeming. Jesus was the redeemer. And his whole life and ministry was so in harmony with the Father that it's done. Father, I commit my hands, my spirit into your hands. David says something else there in verse 5. It's always important for us to see and note. He says, O Lord, my faithful God. And we remember that Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is the name of God, Yahweh. So that when Moses was called to the burning bush by the voice, Moses, come close. And he revealed himself. God revealed himself to Moses from the burning bush in Exodus 3. And he told Moses, I'm going to send you to Egypt, and I want you to bring my people out of slavery, out of captivity, and bring them here to this holy mountain to worship me. And Moses said, when they ask, what God told you to lead us out? God gave Moses the name, I am Yahweh. And I am the God of your fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When David says, O Lord, you are my faithful God, he is saying, this is the God of our fathers. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God who used Moses to bring his people out. This is the same God in whom I have committed my spirit. We see in verses 9, 10, and 11, there is suffering and problems in David's life. And it was interesting to me, I was a little bit astounded. I think I'm going to go back and read the passage again because I don't quite believe this. The commentator I used, or one of the commentators I looked at, not him, but he said other commentators have a hard time understanding why David is believing in God and he is his refuge and strength, and at the same time, he has adversaries and suffers. And I thought, oh, man, are they alive on this earth? We have, even though we believe in the true God, yet there are problems, there are difficulties, there are adversities. That is the truth. The Son of God himself had adversities and adversaries. There is great grief in this life. And David says, and so I need this grace and mercy of God, because there is so much grief. It caught me in the last part, or the last two lines of verse 9. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. Do you catch that? He's crying so much from the grief in life that his eyes just tired. It's wasted, but it's more than that. It's my body and soul as well. It's just not the crying of my eyes, but everything is suffering, Lord. He has a lot of things going against him. In verse 11, he says, because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach. Now, he has so many enemies, so many people against him, that he himself has become an reproach. He himself now is repugnant, rejected. By who, does he say? By his neighbors and his acquaintances. I mean, think carefully on this, what David is thinking, saying. He has so many enemies that are against him and mocking him that even his neighbors, the one next to him, and we know that if your neighbor is against you, that is not a good life. You need your neighbors to support you. But he said, my neighbors are against me, and my acquaintances reject me. An acquaintance here in the Hebrew is the ones who know you well. I'm wondering about that English word acquaintance. Oftentimes you think, I'm acquainted with the person. The way I use it, at least, that word, is that I kind of know the person. But what's being said here is the ones who really know me, even they have rejected me. And he says, the last part of verse 11, those who see me in the street flee from me. My neighbors and the ones who really know me run away from me. That's how much I have become disgusting in their sight, rejected in their sight. You'll notice there in verses 11, 12, and 13, I have little passages. You can look that up, and you can see how these things happened to Jesus. There's no doubt it happened to David, but who they happened entirely, totally, finally, was Christ. No one supports him, he says in verse 12. He's like one who's dead, just forgotten, like you're not alive, you're dead to me. I have become like a broken vessel. The image that came to my mind, and maybe you've had broken pots and unused vessels, you just get them out of a house that's no good anymore, get rid of it. We were in our house in Westland, a suburb of Detroit in Michigan, when we were up there for 5-6 years. And we were in the front part of the house, and we could sense burning coming out of the kitchen. And we ran into the kitchen, and there was a fry pan that had nothing in it, and the flame was turned on. And it was red, red hot. So hot that the bottom part of it had, it was so hot, it was going to explode. It was just dry heat. We took it off, and we had a back door right there in the kitchen. And either I or Debbie picked that up, and we screamed at each other and opened the door, and we threw it out in the backyard. This thing, if it touches anything in the house at all, it will start a fire. and that hot part of the plate that was right over the fire stayed. It stuck. It was so hot. It was red hot right there, and it stuck. And I think Debbie said, "Don't just leave it. It'll cool down." See, we didn't want that thing in the house at all anymore. Get that thing out of here. It's ruined. It's no good. In fact, it'll start the house on fire if it touches anything else. The psalmist is rejected like a broken vessel. Nobody wants him. Throw him out. He's dangerous to us. So there's no safe place for the psalmist. And there's all kinds of plots against him, which is recorded often in the Old Testament. There's plotting against David in different narratives in the Old Testament. So all the more there's plotting against Jesus. We need to get rid of this guy, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests said. We need to get rid of this guy, but not when the crowd's around. They respect him, so we can't take care of him now. They found Judas, didn't they? Who would point Jesus out when he was alone without the crowds. So there is a lot of plotting against Jesus. The psalmist continues after he talks about his life and how everything is, he's rejected like a broken vessel and everybody's plotting against him. And yet, he has trust in the Lord. And he says to the Lord, he says to Yahweh, "You are my God." And I often point out, whenever there is in our English translations, there's a thus or a therefore or a but. Pay attention. Because what the word is saying to us there is, it's this and this and this, but God is in charge. I trust in God. So even though his life, there's plots and he's rejected, and even as the ones who know him best are against him, but he trusts in God. He knows that there is no human, there is nothing in creation that is stronger than God. If it's Yahweh, if it's the Lord, then despite these plots, despite my suffering, God is taking care of me. Verse 15 says there, "In my times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hands of my enemies and from my persecutions." I have persecutors, I have enemies, but I'm in your hand. Really? That's where I am, is in your hand, despite all these things happening. That's exactly what Jesus taught, right? In John 10:29. "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." All the things against God's people, God is stronger. And he holds them, and Jesus says, "No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." As this section ends with verse 16, he says something that brings to mind God's shining face and his presence shining on us. "Make your face shine on your servant, save me with your steadfast love." Whenever we hear steadfast love and the face of God shining on us, this is always a reflection, a thinking of, a dependence upon the benediction that God gave to Aaron to tell to the people, and that we also say so often in church. It's in Numbers 6, and I'll read it. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them.'" This is what the psalmist is thinking about, God's blessing. When he says, "Make your face shine on your servant." This is the presence of God. This is the strength and mercy of God that he desires and knows that he has and knows that That is what is going to save him. The psalmist David is inspired by the Holy Spirit to say these things, and when they're done perfectly and fully and completely, it's done in Christ. The psalmist David has sins. He had great sins. And strong faith, and also times of doubting. And he had adversities and problems. But yet he knew that he was in God's hands, and that his spirit, his body and soul were safe with God, despite the attacks. So also with us. And we all the more have seen these things completed and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that the one who was mocked, who was beaten, he was the perfect one. And he trusted and followed his Father's will to the end, to even dying on the cross, so that we can look to him and know that our weaknesses are forgiven, our sins are taken away, and in him we are in God's hands. And that blessing of peace and God's face shining on us is in Christ. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for these words that you gave to King David, by which he showed his faith and also his sufferings, and by which he showed and prophesied, foretold of your Son, Jesus. Continue to show us in your word, Heavenly Father, how you prepared all things for your Son to suffer, die, and rise again, and how you draw our attention to that, and how you draw us to have confidence in what Jesus has done for us, so that we know that no matter what is going on around us or even to us in our lives, yet you are with us. For as Jesus has taught us, nothing can snatch us from your hand. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The hymn that we are going to sing next, I chose it with very much thinking that the next time we will meet in worship will be Palm Sunday. And there's a joy, and there is also the expectation of sadness and heartfelt sadness, because we know as we see Jesus being received as the king by the crowds, yet we know that he is going to die for them on the cross. And this hymn talks about that. It talks about him as king, but it talks about him as the one who's going to die for our sins, thinking of Holy Week and what is going to happen. We sing.
Hosanna cry, oh Savior, make pursue thy road with palms and a scattered garments strode. Ride on, ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Christ, thy triumphs now begin, o'er captive death and conquered sin. Ride on in majesty, the angel armies of the sky look down. thy last and fiercest strife is nigh. The Father on his sapphire throne awaits his own anointed son. Ride on, ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Bow thy meek head to mortal pain, then take, O God, thy power and reign.
The congregation is invited to stand. We pray together the prayers printed on the back of the bulletin. Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray the evening prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me.
Amen.
We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You're invited to stand or sit for a closing
shines down on us in a warm embrace. starlight tender, from myriad worlds unknown, and we this marvel sing, forget our selfish being, for joy of beauty. Jesus, since you love me, now spread your wings above me and shield me from alarm, though Satan would devour me. Let angel guards sing o'er me. This child of God shall meet no harm. My loved ones rest securely, for God this night will surely from peril guard your heads. Sweet slumbers may he send you, and bid his hosts attend you, and through the